Let's read together Job chapters 20 and 21. In Job chapter 20, we have Zophar's second speech. And in Job chapter 21, we have Job's second response to Zophar, which will complete the second round of the dialogue between Job and his three would-be counselors. Let's begin by reading the first three verses of Job chapter 20. Then Zophar, the Naamathite, answered and said, "Therefore my anxious thoughts make me answer, because of the turmoil within me. I have heard the rebuke that reproaches me, and the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer." Let's look at some background notes as we begin our study of these two chapters of Job, Job chapters 20 and 21. It's obvious in these opening statements by Zophar, in these two chapters in Job, that Zophar is very angry. He feels that he has been insulted by Job. Look at verse 3 once again. "I have heard the rebuke that reproaches me," or "which insults me." Now, what specifically is Zophar referring to in verse 3 when he says that he's been insulted? We'll look back at the last two verses of chapter 19. Here, Job warned his three so-called friends that if they continued to wrongly persecute Job, they themselves were in danger of the judgment of God. Now, in response to that warning, Zophar angrily accuses Job of insulting him. Zophar gives his second speech, and he doesn't back off one bit, but proceeds to maintain his false premise that Job is suffering because he is somehow involved in personal sin. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point. So doctrinal point number one, in his second speech, Zophar angrily points the finger at Job. In his second speech, Zophar angrily points the finger at Job. Verses 4 through 29 of chapter 20. Now, in these verses, it's hard to miss the point that Zophar is pointing his finger at Job and inferring that Job is in the category of the wicked. In verses 4 through 11, Zophar's thesis is that the life of the wicked is short. Let's read these verses. "Do you not know this of old, since man was placed on earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short? And the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Though his naughtiness mounts up to the heavens, and his head reaches to the clouds, yet he will perish forever like his own refuse. Those who have seen him will say, 'Where is he?' He will fly away like a dream and not be found. Yes, he will be chased away like a vision of the night. The eye that saw him will see him no more, nor will his place behold him any more. His children will seek the favor of the poor, and his hands will restore his wealth. His bones are full of his youthful vigor, but it will lie down with him in the dust." Verses 4 through 11. Notice how Zophar implied in verse 6 that Job was a proud man, but that he would be brought down. Verse 7. And notice in verse 10, Zophar implied that Job had oppressed the poor and needy in order to gain his wealth, and it would have to be paid back. Job says, Zophar, you're being taken before your time because somehow you are in the camp of the wicked. Verse 11. The life of the wicked is short, according to Zophar. In verses 12 through 19, Zophar's argument is that the riches and pleasure of the wicked is temporary. Let's read these verses. "Though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue, though he spares it and does not forsake it, but still keeps it in his mouth, yet his food in his stomach turns sour. It becomes cobra venom within him. He swallows down riches and vomits them up again. God casts them out of his belly. He will suck the poison of cobras. The viper's tongue will slay him. He will not see the streams, the rivers flowing with honey and cream. He will restore that for which he labored and will not swallow it down. From the proceeds of business, he will get no enjoyment. For he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently seized a house which he did not build." Here we have some vivid descriptions of the short-lived riches and pleasures of the wicked. Now, much of what Zophar describes here is true, but it was not true for Job, because Job was not wicked. Notice again in verse 19 how Zophar implied that Job had oppressed the poor and attained his wealth by land grabbing. This was not true of Job, whom God said was blameless. Job chapter 1, verse 1. In verses 20 through 29, Zophar's main point is that the death of the wicked is painful. Let's read these verses. Because he knows no quietness in his heart, he will not save anything he desires. Nothing is left for him to eat. Therefore, his well-being will not last. In his self-sufficiency, he will be in distress. Every hand of misery will come against him. When he is about to fill his stomach, God will cast on him the fury of his wrath and will rain it on him while he is eating. He will flee from the iron weapon. A bronze bow will pierce him through. It is drawn and comes out of the body. Yes, the glittering point comes out of his gallbladder. Terrors come upon him. Total darkness is reserved for his treasures. An unfanned fire will consume him. It shall go ill with him who is left in his tent. The heavens will reveal his iniquity, and the earth will rise up against him. The increase of his house will depart, and his goods will flow away in the day of his wrath or God's wrath. This is the portion from God for a wicked man, the heritage appointed to him by God. The painful death of verses 24 and 25 is not very pleasant to think about, is it? Notice again in verse 28 how Zophar is obviously pointing the finger at Job. Because Job had lost all his possessions in one day, Zophar clearly was putting Job in the category of the wicked under the wrath of God. In his second speech, Zophar angrily points the finger at Job. Doctrinal point number two. In his second response to Zophar, Job systematically proves that Zophar is wrong. In his second response to Zophar, Job systematically proves that Zophar is wrong. Chapter 21. Let's begin by reading the first six verses. Then Job answered and said, "Listen carefully to my speech, and let this be your consolation. Bear with me that I may speak, and after I have spoken, keep mocking. As for me, is my complaint against man? And if it were, why should I not be impatient? Look at me and be astonished. Put your hand over your mouth. Even when I remember, I am terrified, and trembling takes hold of my flesh." We see in these first six verses of chapter 21 that Job is speaking to all three of his would-be counselors, because the "your" in verse 2 is plural. Job's complaint was not with them or anyone else. It was because God was not giving Job any reason or insight for what was going on, so that at least his three friends should forgive him for his impatience and show a little sympathy for his horrible physical condition. Now in verses 7 through 34, Job proceeds to show that Zophar is clearly wrong in his stated absolutes, that the lives of the wicked are always short, and that their pleasures are always short-lived, and that their deaths are always painful. Let's read verses 7 through 13. "Why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power. Their descendants are established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull breeds without failure. Their cow-calves without miscarriage. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They sing to the tambourine and harp, and rejoice to the sound of the flute. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment, or without lingering, go down to the grave." Job certainly shoots down Zophar's position here in short order, doesn't he? All it took was obvious evidence. There are many wicked who live long and prosperous and trouble-free lives and die in peace without suffering. Where have you been, Zophar? Hello? Wake up and look around you. Verses 14 through 16. In these verses, Job says that even those who openly reject God prosper, and God allowed it. The beginning of verse 16, "Indeed, their prosperity is not in their hand." Now, this did not mean that Job approved of the way of the prosperous wicked. End of verse 16, "The counsel of the wicked is far from me." But that's the way it was, contrary to what Zophar proclaimed. And it did not mean that Job didn't believe that there was a judgment after death. In verses 17 and 18, Job asked his antagonist, how often did the wicked really die young? Or how often were the wicked really blown away like chaff? And if Zophar and the others were to say that the punishment would come on the children, then Job's response was that this was really no punishment on the wicked because the wicked would be dead and not know it. That's no punishment. Verses 19 through 21. They say God lays up one's iniquity for his children. For what does he care about his household after him when the number of his months is cut in half? Now in verses 22 through 26, Job told Zophar that he and the other two were not allowing God to be sovereign over the life and death of each individual. Can anyone teach God knowledge, since he judges those on high? One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. His pails are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moist. Another man dies in the bitterness of his soul, never having eaten with pleasure. They lie down alike in the dust, and worms cover them. Job's would-be counselors wanted to put God into their own theological box, and that was wrong. In verses 27 through 34, Job challenges his three friends not to be so provincial in their thinking and get the bigger picture. Ask around, and then they would see that they would be hard-pressed to prove their premise. Let's read these verses. Look, I know your thoughts and the schemes with which you would wrong me. For you say, where is the house of the prince? And where is the tent, the dwelling place of the wicked? Have you not asked those who travel the road? And do you not know their signs? For the wicked are reserved for the day of doom. They shall be brought out on the day of wrath. Who condemns his way to his face? And who repays him for what he has done? Yet he shall be brought to the grave, and a vigil kept over the tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet to him. Everyone shall follow him, as countless have gone before him. How then can you comfort me with empty words, since falsehood remains in your answers? In his second response to Zophar, Job systematically proves that Zophar is wrong. What about practical application for these two chapters in Job, Job chapters 20 and 21? Refute false theories with irrefutable evidence. Refute false theories with irrefutable evidence. We see in these two chapters that Job refutes Zophar's false theory with solid, irrefutable evidence. There were many examples of wicked folks living long and prosperous lives and dying in peace. Zophar's theory was clearly wrong, and the evidence proved it. Well, we too should refute false theories with evidence, irrefutable evidence. What about the false theory, for example, that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago? Refute it with the overwhelming evidence of remaining soft tissues, blood vessels, intact DNA molecules, and also recent radioactive carbon dates. Clear evidence that dinosaurs were contemporary with man, and thus it is evidence that the theory of evolution has big problems. Many more examples could be given. Refute false theories with irrefutable evidence.